live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's a tight ship we run here.
All over that.
Stand by for news. It's 2 minutes 57 seconds after the hour 12 in this, the month of November, the year of our Lord, 2003. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Let's just, I don't sit here and recap what everybody already knows, but let's just look at what kind of a week it's been. We started off this week with gay marriage being legalized in Massachusetts, and now, what, Massachusetts?
No, Massachusetts. Yeah.
And now, no, I don't even remember. Nobody even remembers now. In the space of like 3 days. I mean, do you remember way back there on Monday afternoon when that was like the biggest story of the year, and that was all anybody was going to be talking about, and it was going to be Karl Rove was running his evil Machiavellian hands together with glee about the idea of making that the sole issue in the upcoming campaign? In between then and now, I think what we had a verdict in the sniper trial. We had Rush Limbaugh being looked at for money laundering or drug smuggling or something or other.
The president hit at Buckingham Palace for a couple of days and nobody noticed. And he came home.
Phil Spector apparently confessed to his limo driver that he shot that woman in the head. Yesterday we had all the unpleasantness with Michael Jackson. It's been one hell of a week. I think we should all just go home after this week. And after the last... With the last month, we had the... Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected the governor of California. Fires destroyed like 9 million acres there. I mean, I don't even know why we're busy doing a show anymore. We should just pack it in after this, man. Where are we going to go from here? There's just nowhere. All right. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show, though. We're here. We got F. Matt Peterson along with us, as well as Sarah Dillon, as well as Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Coming up today, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who will give us the latest in the Michael Jackson case. We've got the CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, who's in Dallas. We're going to be talking about the upcoming 40th anniversary of JFK's assassination, which no one really cares about. But it's one of those things we all give lip service to, and we pretend that it made some significant impact on our lives, and so I will do that in about 31
minutes. Made no impact on my life. I was not even a thought in my
parents' eyes. Wasn't even born.
I was on this earth at that time.
So how old would you have been? It was 63, right? Yeah, so you watching, you didn't, I bet nobody saw it happen, right?
No, because the Zapruder film didn't come out till like the 70s.
So that's one of those things that everybody, see, that's a sort of cultural, not brainwashing, but I mean, that's one of those bits of unconscious revisionism that we've gone through.
Right.
Everybody thinks they saw the Kennedy assassination on TV, but nobody really did.
But that, I still remember to this day, Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald that morning, because everybody was watching TV.
Everybody was gathered around the kineoscope.
Yeah.
So, we'll talk about JFK a little bit later
Clyde
on
Lewis.
With CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Yes, then followed by Clyde Lewis, who will be here with the top five JFK conspiracy theories of all time. That's coming up later on today. Top five JFK conspiracy theories of all time. As if that weren't enough, we've got Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian, who's going to be with us later on. We've got exciting brand new music from... Well, we're going to play some stuff by our friends at Dry County Crooks later on. And then we've got... What is the name of that band?
Six.
S-Y-X.
S-Y-X, yeah.
Some of the local, exciting, fresh new kids on the metal scene.
Six without the T.
Making the... I'm sure that's exactly what they thought of when they... It's just like Sticks. That's what'll get a street cred with the kids in Portland. All right, so we have a whole bunch of stuff coming up. That's my whole point. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Friday. We got Tim Riley coming up. Stay right there.
It's not Rick Emerson. It must be noon. And it's 21 hours. Think away so soon. Turn off the TV. And pick up my radio, okay? I gotta hear it. Think something's wrong with the planet. Stuck on I-5. Better get used to chillin'. It's all backed up. Got the traffic with Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic. And just because of that,
cool
up the show with sponsor F-Math. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds bad.
Word.
Julie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like the threesome I never did. Then maybe we'll get my song on the plane for all the kids. But if not, you'll never know this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster, and he's got to get paid. He's the radio gangster. Yeah, I'm not having it.
He's not having it.
to the low, y'all. But Zachary my pastrami.
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Good afternoon, everyone. An inmate who went on a 10-day hunger strike in an effort to avoid deportation has agreed to go to the hospital. Stephen Gaguru is a Romanian citizen and is in the country illegally. How did he get here from Romania? He was refused food and water since he has refused to take it since November 10th, and he's just, well, he's just wilting away. The jails have permission to have a doctor feed him through a tube, but Gaguru has now agreed to medical treatment. He and his family lived in Beaverton, are still scheduled for deportation the first week of December. Romania, here they come. The two children ages 2 and 3 were born in the United States and are citizens. Officials say the 31-year-old has not made any claims of fears of prosecution if he returns to Romania.
If you were in Romania, how is it that you're in Romania and then you end up in Beaverton? And imagine if that's all you ever knew of America.
So you're at the Romania airport and the sign at the door says Beaverton.
And you just, it is the promised land. There's snow. I am going to a glorious golden paradise, my friends. Really? Where are you going, Vladimir? I am going to Beaverton.
And, you know, a Christmas present in Romania is like a bent nail or something. I mean, wouldn't you want to go to Beaverton if you lived in Romania?
I can't really say with any degree of accuracy, but I, who knows? So, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. We're back to Romania.
Why are there so many Russians here anyway? What is that all about? I'm not complaining.
No.
This place is lousy. This is the only place I've ever lived where you go to, like, an Albertsons here.
Yeah.
Or something. If you're in line at Albertsons, the woman says, hi, my name is Jen. And it's the woman behind the counter. She's got the name tag. And then below that, it'll sometimes say, like, I sign for the deaf or something. Like, let you know if you got no ears or whatever. You can go there and you buy your croutons from her and she'll be able to sign for you. But then, I saw a woman the other day. It's like below it. It says, I sign for the deaf. And then right below it, it says a bunch of the crap. It's obviously Russian. But you never see that anywhere else. Man, this place is the Northwest. It's just packed. Two things. Oregon is packed with Russians. Washington, packed with Asians.
Amen to that. They're
especially
everywhere.
Like exchange students.
Well, especially that's on like naval bases and everything too.
Yeah,
and Seattle has like the highest percentage of degree students than any other city in the United States.
Well,
you see a lot of Asians.
Maybe that's because it's the tech industry.
That's Microsoft. Mostly.
Because they're a clever people.
Yeah.
All right.
What were we talking about? Romanians?
Probably.
Anyway, Christmas in Romania.
Does Romania have anything to do with romaine lettuce?
No, there wouldn't be any lettuce growing there.
There's nothing. What do you grow there?
Gravel. Yeah, you know, they push people in those little red wagons into coal mines and tell them to spend about 10 hours there and come up and you're all good and dirty.
Okay.
Now, what are we doing?
I have no idea. I don't even know. Man, we're only like,
what is it? It's
Friday. Like 9 minutes into the show and I have no idea what we were doing. I had a plan at some point.
9 minutes into the show, we've already managed to, you know, alienate most of Eastern Europe.
Yeah,
and
the big Russian-speaking audience won't be listening to us anymore.
And the entire Asian community.
I've alienated Russians and the deaf. Whatever shall I do?
Well, here I am, a first generation of American of Eastern Europe, so they can blame it on me.
No, you and Lycus, he's Lithuanian too.
Anyway, let's do the clergy watch.
Here's your clergy watch. Okay, there's like three people I haven't offended. It's Friday.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Because I got to have faith. I got to have faith. Because I got to have faith.
Bow, bow,
bow. I got to have faith, faith, faith.
Speaking of living like a Romanian, this interoffice correspondent says they began construction of the new sales cubicles. It'll take 90 days of inconvenience.
Over here?
No, at the other building. Oh. And you'll have leg room similar to flying in coach.
I was going to say, we've been constructing the cubicles here. We've been constructing them with the smaller and smaller piles of things as everything ends up stolen, you know, like somebody's house. So, and that other place, man, I don't mean to complain, and I'm really not complaining. I'm just saying that other building, man,
is... You can't put both your legs in the cubicle.
No, I mean, it's like, that other building is like, it's already like an overstuffed footlocker. I mean, the building that we're going to be moving into, because we were purchased by Intercom Broadcasting a while back, and the building was designed for 4 radio stations. There are currently 6, and there's going to be like 8. It's like, I don't even... God, I went over there. It's like poor Paul Halama the other day. He's just like stuffed in there like a baby cow being ready to be stuffed with prosciutto. You know what I mean? It's like you just, it's just the tiniest. I mean, it's like they're all in like rabbit hutches, which I guess maybe that's their point. I guess maybe the whole thing is like they just want to make it so terrible that you just get out there and sell. You know what I mean? Next thing, they'll just be electrifying your chairs at random points throughout the day.
So if they posted pictures of that in Romania, I bet this guy would have never come to Beaverton.
Come over and live in a veal fattening pen at Entercom.
Anyway, let's talk about the clergy watch today. This time it's a local one. A high-profile Portland pastor is accused of paying troubled women for sex.
Why do you need to pay troubled women? Don't they give it up the easiest of all?
I guess not. Congressional members of the Christ Memorial Church of God in Christ. That's a long name. Alleged that the Reverend Roy Tate, who's 53.
Let me understand this. It's the Christ Memorial
Church
of God in
Christ. Yeah. Altogether now, the Christ Memorial Church of God in Christ.
Okay, is that like... Because otherwise you might think it was the Church of God in Conrad Bain.
Oh, it is a Pentecostal church in North Portland on Killingsworth.
Okay.
Well, anyway, it is alleged that the Reverend paid for sex with women he counseled. He's also accused of misusing church funds on what? This is all unsubstantiated stuff. It's coming from a group of angry people, angry folks, says Tate. He denies the accusations and disguises accusers as unreliable drug users. I guess those are his parishioners. The bishop who oversees the church will bring the allegation before the church's elders' council for trial. Tate has been pastor of the church, wow, for 22 years. That's job security. Hasn't been charged with any other crime. And there is no police investigation at this time. Tate previously made news as an outspoken critic of the Kendra James police shooting.
And he would just counsel them and then...
Alleged.
What, give them like a fiver? And
I'm not sure what troubled women go for in that part of town.
I'm really troubled. I counsel you to do me. Right here. Jesus.
These are allegations.
Yeah, all right.
So that's today's clergy watch.
There's your clergy watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, Washington State's always an amusing place. We have a couple of stories here. An Everett judge has refused to dismiss an assault charge against the man accused of hosing down his son and leaving him outside in the cold. Judge Ronald Castleberry said the judge or jury should decide the case. A defense lawyer had asked Castleberry to dismiss the charge against 33-year-old Christopher Wiggers of Montlake Terrace because the boy was not physically harmed last June. But the prosecutor said the 3-year-old was tortured for wetting his pants. A woman expressed her displeasure at a $37 parking ticket by mailing 3,700 pennies to the King County District Court in Bellevue.
Right on.
When the 22-pound duct tape box arrived, officials suspected it was a bomb and evacuated more than 50 people from the building.
Everyone is so stupid. It's so easy to manipulate the government that it almost doesn't seem fair. It almost just seems like a one-sided battle. Like any box that they're not expecting to come in the mail, they assume is some incendiary device.
Tammy Sully, a bottle... says she didn't intend to cause a huge problem. She just wanted to let officials know she thought the ticket was ridiculous.
Damn straight, man. I mean, you ought to be able to pay whatever your ass wants to pay with pennies. It's ridiculous that you can't pay. You know, because if you... And at least you... I don't even know if they'll accept it, because in Oregon, I'm pretty sure that it's in Oregon. I know that it's the case in Utah. In Utah, you can't pay for that stuff with pennies.
Yeah, you can't pay for your tickets in cash here. At all.
What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I was told that you couldn't...
If you get... You mean like a traffic ticket?
Yeah. Like, I was told it can only be personal check or through, like, a debit card or credit card.
Oh, I think you can't,
backward.
It over the phone or send it in if it's cash. But you can go into the courthouse, and they've got a cashier you can pay with
totally
cash.
Oh, totally doing this,
okay.
Then.
All right.
You can pay for a 12-pack in pennies at Plaid Pantry. I've seen it before.
You know why? Because a penny's goddamn tender. It's money. I think they ought to do it one. I don't want to turn this into a whole Rob Lowe thing. But, I mean, I don't want to sit here like I'm... Like I'm just monologuing on the West Wing, but
get rid of the penny.
Do it, yeah. Well, do it one of two ways. If you're going to have the penny, you can't do that. You can't sort of create a unit of monetary worth and then not take it anywhere. It just seems dumb. So if you're going to have the penny, you got to accept it. You got to take it. You got to let us pay. For instance, parking meters ought to take pennies, and they're responsible. Well, it doesn't matter. The parking meters is hard. You change. Well, then get rid of it. You know what I mean? If the penny, because pennies cost more to make than they're worth anyway. I mean, this is stuff everybody knows. You don't use pennies for anything. No one uses pennies for anything. They just sit there in like a gigantic oversized novelty coffee mug on your counter at home, collecting dust, lint, and little bits of gum out of your pocket. Because no one likes them. They're a bane on society.
I usually get haircuts. My haircutting lady charges me $7.99.
Yeah, but I mean, but when she gives you the penny back, like, you
she never gives the penny back.
She's that bitch.
I know.
That whore.
I'm going to change haircutting ladies.
Okay. Well, all right then. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-737-5955. My whole thing about the penny just kind of got short-circuited there. All right, we're going to come back. We got more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We got a Britney watch coming up, as well as the top five JFK conspiracy theories of all time with Clyde Lewis. Stay there. It's Robbie Williams.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Emerson Show on Hot Talk to Eddie Cave today. This is the Dry County Crooks. I was just saying, I'm out. If there were any justice in this world, this would be a gigantic hit somewhere other than on a talk radio station. I mean, how perverse is that in 2003? The only place, I mean, and it's not their fault, I don't know. No disrespect to the Dry County Crooks. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they might be played somewhere, but I'm doubting it. It has nothing to do with them. It just has to do with the state of music radio in 2003. How perverse and bitterly ironic is it that the place to get the most airplays at a talk radio station. Just sad. DryCountyCrooks.com is a website, by the way. That song's called Average Man. The record is called The One That Got Away. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. A man in Los Angeles, a towering giant among journalistic figures far and wide, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop.
My goodness.
How are you, my friend?
I'm well. How are you? Happy Friday.
God, man, this has been one hell of a month. We were just, and people are probably getting tired of me doing this list, but it's unbelievable. I was talking to somebody about this last night, and there's stuff that I'm even forgetting now, because it's like your brain, I read somewhere that the human mind can only hold 7 distinct concepts in it at once. And then you start to forget stuff, which is why phone numbers, you know, there's 7 numbers long, and, you know, once you start to put area codes in there, people start to forget it. It's like on Tetris, there's 7 shapes in the Tetris game because you can only remember 7. There's, right now, there was in the space of 1 month, we had Schwarzenegger as governor.
Right.
California wildfires. Gay marriage legalized in Massachusetts. The sniper verdict. Rush Limbaugh in rehab. Rush Limbaugh out of rehab. Rush Limbaugh now investigated for money laundering. Michael Jackson, Phil Spector. I mean, it's just the world is tilting off its axis rather strangely, my friend. So it's strange times. There are strange things afoot at the Circle K and here.
Yeah, well, I like that, by the way. The strange things afoot at Circle K.
It's just becoming a strange world. So Jackson's, he's gone again, right? He's in Vegas.
He's in Vegas. Yeah, he's hanging out in Las Vegas at the Hidden Valley Ranch or whatever the hell that's called.
So he's out on bail. And how does that work? Is that he's out on bail, and he doesn't have to do, he doesn't have to show up or do anything or to keep track with anybody until January 9th?
January 9th. Basically, when you the bail or the amount of bail, if you post that, that's your promise to come back on your next court date, and his next court date, January 9th. And they will formally charge him. They will file the charges formally sometime after Thanksgiving.
Is there any word on whether or not the social service folks are going to go and yank those freaky kids away from him?
Well, Gloria Allred is in the middle of some kind of press conference right now trying to call on an investigation by Child Welfare Services to get in the mix here and possibly do something. I don't know what the condition of his surrender was. I don't know what all of that entailed. It obviously had to have something to do with his children, because that is a court situation. So whatever is going to come of that, I have no idea.
Did you hear Jermaine yesterday saying that Michael Jackson isn't eccentric?
Yeah. I thought, man, I would have said, if I was Kira, I would have said, well, would you use the word peculiar?
You can't even imagine how weird that family is. But, I mean, you gotta wonder what else goes on inside the family Jackson.
But I tell you, if you're in that family, you don't turn on each other, man, because, I mean, you'd be like LaToya. They'd exorcise you for a while.
It is true. They did sort of shun her.
Oh, absolutely.
They did some full, I don't know, what is it, isn't that Scientologists do that, where you're dead to us? Or, you know, it's like in the Mafia, man, where it's like Omerta. You don't talk out against the family. You're on the outside.
Yeah, she has said in the past that, you know, Michael's kind of funky with kids, you know. So, but she has taken that back in the meantime. You know, who knows what's going on.
Yeah, has there been much response? Because, you know, he's got all these celebrity fans. He's got, you know, Elizabeth Taylor, and he's got, you know, Liza Minnelli, and just all these kind of equally freaky people he surrounds himself with. But it's like, you don't really, you haven't been hearing from any of those guys.
Yeah, most of them aren't saying anything, and the ones who are saying, look, we don't know that he's guilty, we don't know all the facts, but, you know, cut him a little bit of slack, quit trying to assassinate his character. Some of them are actually saying we don't believe that he's guilty, you know, but... who's to say, of course. Yeah. And I got to tell you something. Mark Geragos is really coming out strong, saying he's innocent. Most of the time, an attorney will say something like, well, look, we have to wait and see what the case is. We'll check the facts. My client is ready to face the charges. But he's actually coming out and saying Michael is innocent. And so that tells me that they're very confident about their defense.
Do you think this guy, what's his name, Tom Snedden or...
Tom Snedden, he's the district attorney in Santa Barbara.
There seems to be sort of a, I don't know, like a low-key conventional wisdom forming that he's been on, if not a witch hunt, but he's been on a vendetta ever since Jackson walked in 93, and that he may have been so eager to make a case that he really overreached himself this time.
Yeah, well, Snedden is, of course, saying that's not true. He said when that case was put to bed in 1993, he put it to bed himself, and he wasn't going to even think about it, and wasn't thinking about it, wasn't tracking Michael Jackson, could care less about Michael Jackson, up until the time that the agency was alerted by the therapist that there was something funny going on. And Snedden and the sheriff, Jim Anderson, went down to Los Angeles to interview the boy after the therapist. It was another lawyer who suggested that Snedden and Anderson go down to Los Angeles to talk with this boy. So Snedden is denying all the allegations from the Jackson camp, and of course Jackson's are denying the allegations of child molestation.
Are you looking forward to this being your life for the next year?
I'm going to be spending some time in Santa Barbara, that's for darn sure.
Now,
I was just told that today.
I mean, it's not murder, but I think that the fact that it's Jackson and the fact that it's a crime that is so sort of salacious, I mean, that... You know, I think O.J. may get knocked to number two in terms of trials. In the midst of all this sort of overshadows the fact that Phil Spector was charged with murder, and according to the AP today, the report is that he told his chauffeur that he'd killed somebody.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
I'm reading right. It just came across from the AP. Legendary record producer Phil Spector, charged with murder in the shooting death of an actress at Hilltop Mansion, told his chauffeur that night that he thought he had, quote, killed somebody, end quote, according to a police report. And up until now, had they thought that it was suicide or something? That's
well,
what he
Phil
claimed.
Spector told the Associated Press that he thinks it could have been suicide. He claims he found her dead with a hole in her face, just like everybody else did. He just came home, and there she was in the foyer with a, you know, shot in the face. He claims he didn't do it, and it may have been suicide. But who knows?
That I feel fruity every time I say foyer. I always say, and I know it's
correct.
Yeah,
but that's the word, man.
I know, but it's like I
foyer.
Always, I find myself saying foyer sometimes, just because I don't, you know, I want to sound manly.
I hear you.
Yeah,
I'd rather screw that word up than People go, oh, he knows that word, huh?
This is a good time for, I guess, anybody else to be committing a crime in California because nobody's going to be paying any attention to it.
It's going to be it's quite a zoo come January and for several months. I've heard for the little town of Santa Barbara.
Jesus. Well, I mean, so if Schwarzenegger wants to pass any unpopular legislation, this is the month to
now.
Do it. Yeah, do it right now. All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, no.
2 days in a row with the microphone up.
Well, I was thinking too much about the Michael Jackson case.
Let me just say that we get all these people who wonder what the dollar in the jar thing is. And the thing is, there's such a, at some point, and it never really did, it never really abated, there was this epidemic of people starting to speak with their mic, and I'll do it for demonstration purposes here, starting to speak,
and then their microphone is off.
And you can't hear them, and it just sounds like talking inside a bell jar. And so we had to institute a fee system every time you start to speak and you forget to turn your microphone on. But the only one it ever really happens to is Tim. Everybody else seems to have been cured by this procedure.
Well, I think this microphone's built in an Indian burial ground.
It's defective.
Yeah. Top of the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch.
Okay, so now Michael Jackson supporters are finally coming forward to show support. Among them is Missy Elliott.
He's my biggest influence, so that's why I'm, you know, very defensive. I'm ready to fight about Michael Jackson, so we pray to God he didn't do it because I might go to jail trying to defend him.
Then there is Rick James.
Because I love him. I think he's fantastic. I love his whole family. I've been knowing Michael since he was a kid. I've been knowing the whole family. I know his mother. I know his father. I know the brothers. I know the sisters. And I have nothing but complete love and respect and admiration for the whole family.
Why is this happening to Michael, Rick?
He's black, he's rich, and he's famous, and they got nothing else better to do.
It says Rick James, who was... That's a bit like being defended by Mary and Barry. You think they could find somebody who didn't go to prison for burning some nude woman that he'd held hostage by, you know, and burning her with a bass pipe. You think that, you know, somewhere you could find somebody who wasn't a multiple felon to defend you.
Hey, that was the drugs talking, man. Just let it go.
Okay.
Rick James reminds white America of the sins of Jerry Lee Lewis.
He married his first cousin. She was 13 years old. Why don't they go up to Santa Claus? Why do they do psychology?
Drugs talking again.
Apparently, Rick's still on that same time.
He's in 100,000 different cities, and kids sit on his lap talking about what they want for Christmas.
I don't know, Rick. I've sat on Santa Claus' lap. I've never had any issues with Santa Claus.
Yeah, but never mind. Santa Claus. What about Elvis? They didn't do anything to him. He
what?
Had Priscilla when she was 14, 15 years old.
Yeah, she wanted it, though.
Nobody said a damn thing.
Yeah.
Or Kira Phillips.
No, that is... Kira Phillips, 2 days in a row.
Day
2 days in a row. Yesterday she gets Jermaine saying the F word, and today she got Rick James talking about sitting on Santa Claus's lap. That is true. Elvis was boinking Priscilla Presley when she was only 14 or 15.
Yeah.
Well, they're dumb
Southern...
But they
were in love.
And they're dumb Southern crackers. What are you going to do? I mean, that's, you know...
And it wasn't like, you know, 12 and 13-year-old boys that Elvis was...
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, that, you know, that is interesting that Michael never comes out and just says, you know, he always makes the claim, oh, Michael loves children. But I mean, unless I'm wrong about this, you know, it's not like one form of pedophilia is any better or worse than another. But it is interesting that he doesn't, because to my knowledge, Michael never has, like, little girls out in Neverland. And obviously, you know, wouldn't be sleeping in the same bed with them anyway, because the people would have asked, like, real serious questions about that early on. But it's like, you think that Michael would at least have, like, sort of, you know, like a guest house where, like, the, you know, cancer kid and his, you know, like a Ronald McDonald house kind of a thing. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
What about Michael Jackson's future?
It's too hypothetical. It's too much of a hypothetical situation. Faces conviction. I don't even see him getting convicted of anything like this. I mean, he loves children. He loves children. Look at all he's done for children. Look at what he's done. He's changed the world for children. God doesn't bless someone like Michael Jackson who changes the world for children.
I don't even understand what that means. Okay.
He loves children.
Well, okay, there you go.
That's today's Jackson Watch.
Rick James loves bad weaves, by the way. You saw him on CNN today. Looks like he's got a tarantula made of yarn on his head. It's true, man. It's a bad rug. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll do this. We got more on the way. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey. Just in case you're wondering, Matt's porn name would be Nelly Ivy Glenn.
No, actually, I was thinking about, we did have one dog before that, but I was really little. It's when I was, like, little kid.
Porn name would be Scraps?
No, it was, it was Bogey.
Yeah, we'll just go with Nelly Ivy. Nelly Ivy Glenn is a great porn name.
Mine works really good.
Heidi, what is it?
Heidi Ravenna.
Heidi Ravenna, that's a...
That's a really good
I think that name alone indicates that you should go into porn, just to use the name. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. In a short while here, we'll talk to Diana. We got today's top five coming up. We got a Britney watch on the way. It's all coming your direction promptly. Let's now be joined by CNN radio correspondent Ed. What is that? You just couldn't find the Dallas theme? Is that it?
I actually looked for the Dallas theme, and I couldn't find it, so...
CNN.
It's a presidential discussion.
CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Ed, you're in Dallas. How are you today?
That's right. I like the theme. We'll take anything we can get. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. We're coming up on 40 years. What do they have you... They have you just... What does one do when one's in Dallas for the 40th anniversary? Do you just sort of...
Well, I just get back. I'm just a few blocks away, actually. Down at Dealey Plaza, down on the grassy knoll, and did a live shot for the network from
so
the grassy knoll. But I tell you, they're coming by the thousands. They get about 2 million visitors here a year anyway. But
it's not one of those things that you think would be a tourist attraction, but I guess it would.
It is. It's kind of a gruesome tourist attraction, actually. I don't know if I've ever told you this. They have the X's in the road on Elm Street where the motorcade went down, right in front of the grassy knoll. And they have the X is the spot in the road where Kennedy was shot. I took a little tour today. I'd never been up there. I was down here last time, 2 years ago, for the Catholic Conference of Bishops Convention when we were covering that story. And I almost got up there but didn't get a chance, and just went up there today. And, well, what a remarkable view you get from up there where where Oswald was. You got to figure that even if there are a bunch of conspiracy theories out there, he did have a clear shot. There was no doubt about it from up there.
And so what is, I don't know if it's one of those things where it's, no one can downplay the fact that, it's obviously a gigantic event, not just for America, but for the world, when a president is killed. But to whatever extent you could even comment on this, do you think that we go back and we always want to make it, a conspiracy? Do you think that we want to go back? We want to make it a conspiracy because it's so unsettling, or?
It's been brought out that it just for people that day it was such a traumatic thing, which has carried on now 40 years, that it just couldn't be that cut and dried for people. They had to look for something else. That some guy is puny as Lee Harvey Oswald. And, a no-name would pull something like this off. I mean, they just couldn't accept that. And that's why many don't buy that Warren Commission report. I did some interviews today with some people that, have running these seminars on conspiracies. And they're going to have Arlen Specter piped in tonight, for one of the talks. So many don't believe that, it was Oswald acting alone.
We had a story today, actually. 70% of people, I think, we were talking to Tim Riley, my newsman here, said that 70% of Americans believe that there was some kind of conspiracy. And so, the people you've talked to and the people you've sort of canvassed for this, if they don't believe the Warren Commission's report, what do they think? What is the what's choice number two for most people?
Well, choice number two, obviously, a conspiracy is more than one. And some will say, well, that would be a very lucky event that you had two people, that were acting alone, firing, shots at the president, at a presidential motorcade. One, fellow I talked with today heads up a group that they've you know written numerous theses on this thing, and they say that they believe that it was government upper level.
And my mom is convinced. I tell my mom to the day she dies, my mom will be convinced that LBJ did it.
Yeah,
for
and now,
reasons unknown to me.
I've heard a lot about that, and Nellie Connelly is very, very upset about that. But what was brought out last night on the ABC report, which I thought was very good, the conspiracy people give it a thumbs down, by the way, they were saying that LBJ believed firmly that it was Castro. Mm-hmm. Right. And his remark to someone was that he got him first.
All right, there you go. There's CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy there in Dallas. Thank you, Ed. We appreciate it. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We got Clyde Lewis, by the way. He's going to be with us later on. He's going to count down the top five conspiracy theories about JFK. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Time for the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, no. Did I never go to the... All right. They we'll get this phone call here as soon as the Battle Watch, the opening theme plays.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
So we got this little timer on the screen that tells you how long people have been on hold. You know, holding 74 minutes. Full-time listener, our good friend Downtown Diana. Hey.
Hey, you had a couple questions. I thought maybe you'd like some answers.
Yeah.
All right. There are so many Russians in town because they have to be in big cities. They were bought over by all the service relief agencies. And I was a case manager in Tucson when they first started.
Uh-huh.
And they found out that you can't bring Russians into a tourist economy town and have them do well, especially when they don't speak English or Spanish. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, now the next part is on the money. They don't accept coins for payment because it's not considered legal tender. If you take a look at your paper money, it always says, this is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
Somebody's been listening to Clyde again.
No, I knew this before Clyde.
Yeah, but they have to take. It's like they have to, don't they? I mean, isn't
no,
like,
they don't have to accept coins because coins are not legal tender.
Yeah, but I mean that's only because you only got so much room on a penny to write stuff. You know, it's just because it's very small.
Well, I understand. We have In God We Trust on the coins, but it's. You know, the legal tender is only the paper.
All right. Well, I'm still going to, you know, it's like one of those things where I had to pay a parking ticket one time, and so they let me pay it by check, but it was a parking ticket that I'd fought, I disputed it, and finally they just overruled me and said, you've got to pay it. And so I took the check and I stapled it to a piece of paper like 300 times. I put like a whole load of staples into it that they were obliged to go through and remove one at a time. And just my tiny, petty little strikes back against the man who oppresses me.
You've got to fight against the man.
You've got to do something. There you go. This is Diana Downtown, answering all questions, both Russian and monetarily related. Here's Tim Riley.
So the Iraqi oil ministry and two hotels have been hit by rockets that have been fired from donkey carts in Baghdad.
How embarrassing is that? Being hit by rockets fired off the cart behind an ass.
Yep. Army General Mark Kibben acknowledges that the two buildings are among the most heavily guarded buildings in Baghdad.
They were, which just shows you the sophistication of the enemy. He's a very adaptive enemy.
Sophisticated donkey. He's using a donkey cart.
Some of our defenses.
Not confuse this with facts.
Seriously, it shows you how crafty they've got. Top of the line technology. What are we supposed to do? The man had a donkey cart. There was no defense.
Improvise, overcome.
We do.
Yeah, there was nothing we could do to stop it. It was a. You don't understand. It was a big ass donkey cart. It was huge.
Four donkeys pulling this thing down the road.
Top of the line.
Well, General Kibben denies that the U.S. response to violence is heavy-handed.
These are very precise operations, very surgical operations, and frankly, if I was a good Iraqi citizen, I would appreciate seeing a house across the street from mine that had been used for terrorist attacks, to shoot mortars from, to shoot IEDs from. I would like to see that house go away.
But it was a donkey cart. Rockets struck the hotel where CNN's Walter Rogers is sleeping. He quickly sprang from his bed to see if the donkeys were okay.
Still standing, a badly traumatized and singed donkey, which the Iraqi insurgents used to haul their missile launcher.
Oh, that's just
all right,
sad.
Copy impact on the 14th, 15th, and 16th floor. Only one casualty thus far. Over.
The critically injured man is an American civilian contract employee. These U.S. soldiers still disinclined to allow pictures showing that the war does continue.
All right. And Donald Rumsfeld reminds us of the positive things going on in Iraq.
Today in Iraq, almost every city, town, village, and province has a government or a council chosen by and run by local Iraqis. More than 130,000 Iraqi security forces are now taking the responsibility for security for their own country.
Okay, and whoever has the conch gets to speak at the council every night. All right, there you go. There's your battle watch for Friday. Donkey rocket attacks. Steven says, Rick, are these weapons of ass destruction? There you go.
Yes, they are.
We'll be back.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Bradley. Comcast Cable will raise its rates next year by an average of 5.3%. The nation's largest cable provider has 550,000 customers in Oregon and Southwest Washington. The company said the increase is needed to provide reliable service and options such as high-definition television. So if your bill now is like 39, it'll go up to, say, 41-something. A hurdle has been cleared for Oregon's small coastal ports. Congress has approved $2.2 million for dredging and water projects. If signed by the president, the bill will funnel money into seven of Oregon's small ports. Almost a century after the largest bird native to North America disappeared, the California condor has returned to the Northwest. The last condor sighting in Oregon was 1904, but now the Oregon Zoo has opened the fourth condor breeding facility in the nation. They'll be spitting out condors like chocolate bars. Mostly cloudy today. Snow level will change from 500 feet to 1,500 feet. Partly cloudy tonight. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Partly cloudy by Sunday. Rain coming back in Sunday night. Here on the KOTK News.